A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights probably gone.
So had the stairs.
You are just number six.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 447. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about Stig of the Dump. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, we are indeed. This is a 2002 BBC adaptation of a classic, really classic children's novel by Clive King. This series ran for just under 30 minute episodes. And interestingly enough, it's another almost familiar tale of a slightly lonely and solitary child who happens to meet a strange character in an unusual setting. And let's just say that this character changes his life and it goes on from there.
Yes, that's right. And the early 2000s BBC productions can be interesting. So this is one of those. So getting into the setup, young Barney and his sister have gone to stay with their grandparents during the summer holidays. Basically, the whole story is set over the summer holidays. Barney is a rather solitary child. He explores the woods nearby and encounters this older group of boys who are a bit of a gang, and there is some bullying, and he runs away and falls into this old quarry pit that is now a rubbish dump or a garbage dump.
Yes, he does take quite a fall and falls through the garbage dump through a sort of roof into a cave, where he discovers that there is living a primitive humanoid who protects him from the bullies, who takes quite a protective and caring attitude to Barney. And later on, when he's escaped from the woods and got back to his grandparents' home, Barney does a little bit of research on the internet and finds out that he thinks he has met an example of something called a Steganopithecus, an early hominid that has somehow survived into modern times. From that, we get the name of the character Stig, and Stig and Barney are soon best friends and having several adventures over this summer holidays, Brian.
Yes, they bond remarkably quickly, the two of them. So looking at the characters, Barney, played by Thomas Brody Sangster, who was Tim in Doctor Who, Human Nature and the Family of Blood, the David Tennant story. He is a bored and lonely child, but very bright and caring, and forms this relationship with Stig and does that very quickly.
He does indeed. And of course, we've got Stig himself of the dump, performed by the actor Robert Tanyan and voiced by Nick Ryan. So Stig is the caveman. He is surviving in this home he's constructed from rubbish in the quarry. He speaks in grunts, but he's actually quite clever and insightful and resourceful, and quickly adapts to some of the sort of challenges of modern items and life that Barney sort of introduces him to. And also, I noted, as it turns out, towards the end of the series, Stig's quite good at football, it seems, as well.
Yes, that's right. It's the impression of cavemen or primitive humans or pre-humans of that time, of them being very physically able and quite clever, but very much not possessing more modern speech and communication and so on. We also have Robert and Marjorie, Barney's grandparents. They are quite concerned about Barney. They're very caring. They hear stories about his friend Stig. They don't really believe that there is a Stig or anything like that. It's very much the adults who think that what the child is talking about is not real. They are played by Felidia Law and Jeffrey Palmer. Felidia Law Shaw apparently auditioned for the part of Barbara in Doctor Who in 1963, and then later did appear in the Sarah Jane Adventures. And she is a very good, very well-known actor, and it was lovely to see her there. And then Jeffrey Palmer, we talked about him in Whoops Apocalypse, but he has a very big and storied career. He appeared in Doctor Who in Voyage of the Damned, in the new series in the 2000s, but also in the early 70s in the Silurians. And he was also in one of the James Bond films as Admiral Roebuck in Tomorrow Never Dies.
Love a mention of a Bond appearance, and also love Jeffrey Palmer and Phalida Law, both two superlative actors who I think I could probably say I'd watched them in any series at all. They are so wonderful. Particularly, I'm a huge fan of Jeffrey Palmer, as I think most British TV and film watchers are.
Yeah, the two of them really elevated those roles and the sort of family life of that group, having them there.
We'll also mention Barney's older sister, Lou, or Louise, played by Perdita Weeks. She's a teenage sister. She has friends, or she's making friends near the grandparents' home. She's got other interests, as a, you know, a teenage girl would, starting to get interested in the local boys. She is, initially, I've put in our notes, Brian, she's completely disinterested in Barney and his, as she sees it, imaginary friend. But she does go on a bit of a sort of journey in this series and will become a much more sympathetic character as the episodes go on.
Yeah, she does. She starts as the, you know, the older sister who's sort of making fun of him a bit and, you know, what have you. And by the end, she knows a lot more about what's going on and she's much more supportive. We realize she has been supportive as a sister all along. So that is a nice little journey to have there for a minor character.
So cracking on with our stories, we have Barney bringing some useful items, which he's basically taking from his grandparents' house to give to Stig. There's a digital watch that Barney has, which Stig wears as a sort of armband decoration. And of course, the absence of his wristwatch causes Barney some problems. And they are working on Stig's home, trying to improve it, trying to improve this sort of cave dwelling that he's in, particularly trying to use some sort of bits and pieces of refuse and tools that Barney's brought to provide a chimney so that the smoke from the cave can be safely vented. So there's some interesting sort of tool use with Barney supporting and providing resources for Stig.
Yeah, he does seem to be very good with whatever tools happen to be there. Some of them he doesn't use in the conventional way, but he learns to use these modern tools very rapidly. And the two of them, Barney and Stig, are building on their communication, learning bits of each other's languages, and you know, gestural communication and so on. So they're building up their friendship and their relationship that way. And of course, the grandparents are growing to be more worried about Barney disappearing for chunks of time and him taking things from their home without asking, and talking about this Stig, who they assume is either an imaginary friend or something that he is making up to cover up what's really going on. And Robert, the grandfather, goes out into the woods to figure out more of what's going on too.
And it does seem like Robert, as played by Jeffrey Palmer, is going to stumble across actual Stig and the dump. But of course, I suppose the setup of this show does actually sort of require the adults to not really find out about Stig and for it to continue to be a secret between Barney and Stig.
Yes, that's right.
And of course, we've mentioned the local bullies who provide some difficulties for Barney. They are all from a family with the wonderful last name of the Snargits. It was particularly wonderful to hear Jeffrey Palmer refer to the Snargits. Apparently, older members of the family caused him some bullying problems when he was a young man in the area. And I think it's fair to say, Brian, that the senior, the eldest boy in the Snargits, forms a particular hatred of Barney and is out to get him. Although, again, some of the younger brothers turn out to be not quite so bad later on.
Yeah, it's sort of played like a gang of bullies, the Snargits. And the younger ones, when they're not directly around the older ones, can be more sympathetic. So that was That was a nice little thing they had in there.
But of course, Barney's got this secret. Will the Snargets discover it? Will his grandfather find out? Will his sort of, you know, friendship with Stig be ruined when everybody else starts to find out what he's actually up to in the woods?
Yes, absolutely.
So, time for some production notes. And we turn to what I have described as an absolute classic children's novel here in the UK. Stig of the Dump by Clive King, published in 1963, illustrated by a fascinating artist called Edward Ardizzone, who I thought we might have mentioned before on a previous children's book, but I couldn't find a reference in our notes. So this might be the first time we've brought him up. He's probably best known for illustrating the Nurse Matilda books. And I mentioned the Nurse Matilda books because they were filmed as Nanny McPhee and the sequel movie, where they were adapted and I think directed and starring Emma Thompson for those, Brian. And of course, there's a connection here because Phyllida Law is Emma Thompson's mother and Sophie Thompson, who we've also met on the podcast as well.
Yes, we've now covered the triumvirate of the three women there, the mother and both daughters.
Fantastic stuff. Anyway, so Edward Ardizzone illustrated Stig of the Dump. Wonderful illustrations, which I'm just going to say takes me right back to the local library that I used to go to as a kid when this was one of the books that I read. They're absolutely lovely, Brian.
Oh, lovely. The novel was soon acknowledged as a classic and became a staple of children's reading, as you say.
Indeed, yes, absolutely. As I say, a real classic for me from the 60s.
Yeah, and it was, as was a big deal at that time, it was read on the BBC Home Service for Schools in 1964. And then later it was also read on Blue Peter. So classic children's TV on the BBC there. And we are actually looking at the second television adaptation of it. This one is from the BBC in 2002, but there was an adaptation on ITV in 1981 with Keith Jane as Stig and Grant Warnock as Barney.
Now, the 1981 version from ITV was released on a VHS cassette in 1991, but it's never been released on DVD. It's not, as far as I can tell, streaming anywhere. It's sort of crying out for a release of some form, but we haven't been able to watch it. I've seen bits and pieces of it on YouTube, but of course, one of our sort of self-imposed rules, Brian, is that we like to cover stuff that is available legally and correctly, either on DVD or streaming or Blu-ray.
Yes, absolutely. Do you remember that one coming out in 1981?
Not at all, no. I mean, that would be in my sort of complete black spot when I was at university. So for 2001, we get the BBC announcing that they're going to do a new adaptation of Stig of the Dump. It's going to be helmed by producer and writer Peter Taburn, who would actually write all six episodes himself. And then they were directed for television by John Hay. And I just noticed that Taburn and Hay collaborated on a slightly earlier 2000 ITV series called Life Force. If you're familiar with Life Force, you'll know it involves a post-apocalyptic setting and some psychic children, and you might be wondering why British Invaders has not covered that yet. It's the same answer, I'm afraid. Currently not available on streaming or physical release. When it is, it will go on our list, Brian.
Yeah, some of these classics are not easily available, and we like to cover things that people can get and watch if they want to. So the series Stig of the Dump was shot in and around the village of Alderwasley in Derbyshire, and also in the nearby Duke's Quarry. The makeup and prosthetics for Stig were designed by Mark Collier and Duncan Jarman, and those were quite extensive. Robert Tanyan had to spend a number of hours in the makeup chair, you know, not only facial things, but just about full body makeup to do this. And they really went to some extent to make him look like an early hominid, which is different from the 1981 version where he was more of just a shaggy-haired teenager. The music for this one was composed by Debbie Wiseman, who has a long and illustrious career. She did Random Quest, which we covered at one point.
Yes, and if you look at Debbie Wiseman's sort of credits, amazing history of film and television that she's done. And most notably, perhaps recently, she composed the music for Queen Elizabeth II's Platinum Jubilee celebrations. And then, I suppose more sadly, she composed the music for Queen Elizabeth's funeral service. So an extremely prodigious composer. Here she is on a BBC adaptation of Stig of the Dump.
Wow, that is quite something. Stig of the Dump was broadcast on BBC One in the Sunday afternoon tea time slot starting on January 13th, 2002.
And did very well and would go on to win a children's BAFTA for the writer Peter Taburn. He won the 2002 TV Best Writer in the Children BAFTAs. So that's nice to see it acknowledged as being, you know, an impressive show with pretty good ratings, I think.
Yeah, very nice. So we should talk about the availability.
So we start as usual in Region 2 with a nice easy BBC DVD that is still available, thank goodness. £7, just seems to be the 6 episodes and no extras. That DVD is available to rent on the cinemaparadiso.co.uk site that we talk about here, where you can still rent physical media. And the reason I don't know about the actual contents of the DVD is because I've been watching the series on Amazon Video, where it is just £4 currently for the whole series. You can buy individual episodes at £1.89 in SD, but £4 for the whole series and cheaper than the DVD seems like a bargain at the moment. Across the pond in Region 1.
In Region 1, there is no release. I've seen imports of the BBC DVD, the Region 2 DVD, ranging from about $13 to $46 US or $18 to $60 Canadian. So look around for what's there. And a Region 2 DVD, I believe, is going to be your only option. And that's what I've looked at, and the DVD does in fact have just the episodes and nothing else. The original book is still widely available, still considered a classic, and available with those artisan illustrations. So that is easy to get a hold of anywhere as well.
And I also listened to an audio sample of the audiobook version of Stig of the Dump, which is read by, at one point, the king of the audiobook readings, Martin Jarvis, a great actor who has read many audiobooks over the years, and he does a wonderful reading of Stig of the Dump.
He is an excellent actor and reader, so that sounds like a great way to have an audiobook available.
So come back and join us next time for our next episode, when we're getting into a little bit more about the story. We're going to talk a little bit about how they've updated it for 2002 and changed some elements of the book. And I might talk a little bit about some of the classic tropes of children's literature that we are yet again encountering on British Invaders. And I might put forward a little theory about some of the separation anxiety that prompted these books. But that's all to come next time. And, of course, our own recommendations about Stig of the Dump and whether you should be watching it.
We will have lots to talk about for sure. Until then, you can find all of our episodes at BritishInvaders.com, and you can search for British Invaders on Facebook and find our group there. You can also follow us on Instagram and Threads at @British_Invaders_podcast.
Yes, come and give us a follow and keep up with the updates about our upcoming shows and release schedule. And come and join us as part of the Voice of Geeks Network, which you will find at VogNetwork.com. The Voice of Geeks for podcasts, for gaming, for streaming, for Twitch streaming, all sorts of stuff going on there, vognetwork.com.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, Eamon in England also signing off.